Let's begin reading here again. We'll read verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 8 this morning. Hopefully we can have a great conversation as we go through this. Again, I like our participation that we do. It helps us to learn where we're all at, and I appreciate those things. So verse number 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God. Okay, what's Paul telling Timothy here? Hey, I'm giving you permission. I'm agreeing with you. So I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. What's the quick referred to? Alive, exactly. Are you glad you're alive this morning? Amen. So he shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So here's some more instructions that Paul is going to give him. And again, I take time to review what we've gone through. So bear with me. Preach the word. Well, that's a great way to charge Timothy, is it not? Preach the word. Well, why is that important? Because a lot of this stuff, as we went through the church of Ephesus a couple weeks ago in the book of Revelation, there's a reason why Paul was saying this to Timothy. The things that they went through. What was the problem with the church of Ephesus? They were a thriving church. They were a patient church. But what did they do? They left their first love. Everything that they did was in vain. Why? Because they left their first love. So Timothy had a great opportunity right in front of him, and so Paul is encouraging him, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and we did this last week. How many times is the word doctrine mentioned in 1 and 2 Timothy? 12 times, exactly. So with that being said, that gives us an understanding of why Paul is going back to doctrine. We need proper doctrine, do we not? It would be really sad if we walked into this church this morning and the doctrine was not correct. So there's a reason why Paul is so adamant about telling Timothy to preach the doctrine. Okay? There's a reason for this, and it's mentioned in verse number 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Okay? What happened? Well, you have false teachers that come in, and they begin to water down the gospel, and unfortunately, if you're not planted in God's word, if you're not planted in his doctrine, guess what's going to happen? You're going to walk away. You're not going to endure sound doctrine anymore. Could we all agree this morning that we live in a world this morning that there's probably thousands of churches across this country that do not practice sound doctrine? We can probably agree with that this morning. So there is an importance for this. By the way, can I say something real quick? Even with that being said, I want to say this. I want to make this very clear. God can speak to anybody no matter where they're at. Amen? No matter what doctrine is being taught, and I'm going to say this, and I might get some darts thrown at me, no matter what version they're using. Why do I say that? Because the Holy Spirit is more powerful than we are. So I want you to understand that real quick. And I fully believe that there are people in the Catholic Church, I fully believe that there's people in the Methodist Church, whatever church it is, that they're saved. God has spoken to them, and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The problem is they continue to stay in that type of teaching. Have you ever wondered why they stay in that type of teaching? Their comfort, but what we know is we're all born into a certain religion. And so when you're born into a certain religion, guess what? You have familiarity. And what is that familiarity? Family. Most people don't want to leave their churches because of what they're surrounded with. Now, I will say this. There's really only one reason why anybody should leave a church. Can you take a guess what that is? Doctrine. Exactly. Doctrine. I understand things happen. I can throw another one in there, and you might laugh at this one. But death, that's a good reason. That's a good reason. I mean, if you're dead, I understand those things. But doctrine would be one of them. So we go on. Let's read again verse number 3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall they heap to themselves teacher having itching ears. And they shall turn away the ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now, I want you to think about this. I'm not going to call anybody out by name. That's not my responsibility here. But I do know of some mega churches, that's all they teach is fables. That's it. And it's sad to see that take place in our society. So you see this taking place back then with Paul. Now, it's ramped up since then. And the only reason why it's really ramped up since then is because the world's gotten bigger. Understand something. Back here, it was only in a certain area. Now this world has expanded, and we just got more going on. Verse number 5, it says this. It says, "But watch thou in all things." These are the next few verses that we're going to deal with this morning. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Before I read these other verses, I want somebody to give me the meaning of affliction. I want somebody to give me the meaning and the duty and the responsibility of an evangelist. And I want someone else to make full proof of thy ministry. Okay? Give you a little bit of time to do those things. Verse number 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Before I read this next verse, do you see what Paul's saying here in verse number 6? I'm going to bring this out, but I'm kind of trying to stimulate your mind just a little bit. So we'll get here. Verse number 7 says this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, we might not get to verse number 8 this morning, but I want to include that with our reading. If we do, great. If we don't, that's okay. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dive into this. Lord, again, we're grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. I thank you for the direction that you have given me this week with your word. Lord, even though I don't understand it all, you're giving me the ability to be able to teach and bring forth the truths that you want known. And so, Lord, I pray that as your scripture has been read, and as now we dive into the teaching part of it, I pray, Lord, that we would be active in this, and we pray that you'd be glorified through it all. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Okay, verse number 5, it says this, "But watch thou in all things." Why would Paul say, "But watch thou in all things"? Have you ever took this into consideration? I'm going to give you the answer, but I'm trying to give you an opportunity this morning to give me your thought on this. And I'm a little warm this morning. It's like a sauna in here. And I'm going to get comfortable if you don't mind. All right. "But watch thou in all things." Anybody want to take a stab at this? Julie?
Satan is tricky, and he is subtle. And he will put things in where you least expect it and when you're not looking.
Oh, so true. Satan's subtle, he's sneaky, and he'll put things in a place when people are least expecting it. Okay, with that being said, who's been a part of that plan this week? Yeah, that's very well said. Now is the time for all of us as believers not to fall asleep on the job, but now is the time for us to be awake, to be alert, because Satan's going to throw those things at us, and we have to be on guard. do we not? Why do we have to be on guard? Well, as you go through Paul's writing, he's in many of his writings, he's talking to us as if we're on a mission. He's talking to us as if we're soldiers. And he's telling us what we need to do. Well, here's another example of what Paul is trying to get us to do. We have to watch. Why is that? We've got to be on guard. We have to be alert to the attacks of Satan's, not only in our personal lives and in our family lives, but we also have to be aware of the attacks of Satan where? Inside the church. This is what Paul is addressing Timothy. Paul is being charged to go to this church and to preach. So we have to be on guard. We can be very vulnerable inside these four walls, can we not? But where do a majority of the problems happen with the church? Inside these four walls. Satan's trying to deceive us. He's trying to get us off guard to where he can put his little attacks in us, and we can begin those attacks on the other individuals. And we have to be careful of those things, do we not? So now is not the time for us as believers to, I'm going to use the word, please don't take offense to this. Now is not the time for us to be lazy. Now is the time for us to be more on guard, to be watchful of those things. By the way, would you not agree we have so much to watch for? Think about this. Think about what we are inundated with in our society, not just inside church, but what we're inundated in our society inside our homes. What is it that most of us have inside our homes that can cause so much trouble? TV, exactly. I'm so thankful this morning none of you said your spouse. I'm thankful for that. But we have TVs in our homes that causes us so much trouble. Why do I say that? There's a lot of good to TV. There's some good. Don't get me wrong. There is. We have the ability this morning to broadcast our services out to people who can't get here. So there's some good in those things. There's other great preachers that are out there that you can only hear them, whether it be through radio or through television. And I watch some of those. And I learn and I grow from some of those. But man, TV is something that in many regards, when you think about it, it's devilish. It really is. Okay, there's nothing wrong with watching a basketball game. I watched a basketball game for a little bit yesterday. I really couldn't get into it. It was the Hawkeyes. I tried, Chris. Please forgive me. But I really couldn't get into it. There's a couple football games on yesterday, and I watched a few of those. But what normally happens when they break off to commercial? Their advertisements. Folks, their advertisements are plain and pure satanic. They really are. We need to be honest about these things. Now, we're going to see those things. What's it do? It kind of hypnotizes our mind. The more we watch it, the more we see it, the more desensitized, is that the word to use for it? And all of a sudden we think, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody else is doing it. Well, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. I had a great lesson given to me years ago when Jalen was a youngster, and she's still young. But this is probably about the age of 4 or 5. I was really into watching Dog the Bounty Hunter. I thought, wow, this is cool. This guy got out of jail. He's got pretty long hair, and he's rough, and man, he can pull off those feather earrings. I'm thinking to myself, all right, another Mr. T of my era. And so you folks don't know who Mr. T is. You're all looking at me like, who's Mr. T? I pity the fool who doesn't know who Mr. T is. But anyway, the shows that were taking place during that time, a transition began to happen with television. Before, when I was growing up, they would say certain words, and you wouldn't hear any other words. But then television began to transition into the new era, and that was this. They would hear a bleep every time a derogatory word would come out of their mouth. Well, that show began to really take off in its popularity. But with that taking off, all you really heard a majority of the show was this, bleep, 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 bleep. And you might hear, go get them every once in a while. Bleep, bleep, bleep. There they are. Bleep, bleep, bleep. And I had an awakening that one time from my daughter, who was 4 or 5 years old, who had more sense than I had, who was more watchful than I was. And she said, Dad, why are you watching a show that you really can't understand? This is the age of 4 or 5, I'm hearing this, and not necessarily in those words. And I'm thinking to myself, man, wow, she's got more wisdom than I do. We need to be watchful of the things, not only just come into our church, but we need to be watchful of the things that come into our homes. I think we all would be in agreement on that, wouldn't you? Just some horrible things out there nowadays that I don't agree with. By the way, just because I have it in my house and I do wash things doesn't mean I support those things. So I want you to understand that. So now we're going to move on. It says, but wash thou in all things. And here's the next word. It's basically a continuation of last week's lesson, endure. What is Timothy going to have to endure? It says the word affliction. Okay, who came up with the meaning of affliction? Who took that task on? Doug did. Contingent pain to the mind or body, a sharp pain. What's Timothy going to go through? Have you thought about that? What's he going to go through? Well, what did Paul go through when it came with afflictions? Let's name some things that Paul went through. Who wants to start us off?
Stoning.
Okay. Would we agree that's an affliction? Okay, that's a sharp object coming at you. By the way, who's ever had a rock or stone thrown at them? Okay, it's not a fun feeling. I'll never forget the day we're out here in this parking lot. This parking lot didn't used to always be concrete. It was gravel at one point in time. It used to be during the time, because back here, a lot of you folks don't remember this, but back here used to be a cornfield. Who remembers the cornfield being back here? I remember the cornfield. And but I also remember with the cornfield, there was big clay rocks there. And I remember one time, an old friend of ours that actually grew up on a different street than us, Robert Aldridge, Chris, you'll remember him. He grabbed a rock and threw it up in the air, and that thing just went up in the air, and guess where it went? Right on top of my noggin. And it split my head open and caused extreme pain. But Paul went through some affliction. He knew what he's talking about here. And when you're standing up for the things of God, guess what? You're going to face some things. Now, just because we face some things as a believer, does that give us the right to walk away? What's the word endure mean? The best version that I can come up with, besides the dictionary version, is continue on. Stand. Stay focused. Because we're going to face it. You're a child of God, and you're going to make it known that you're a child of God. Guess what? You're going to have afflictions. You're going to have persecutions. So Paul went through some things. So he was stoned. What else did he go through?
Arrested.
Okay. Who's been arrested? Don't answer that question. Don't answer that question. About 95% of the hands went up. I've been in jail. I just got out this morning. So he was arrested. By the way, their prison time back then is nothing compared to our prison time. Nothing. I've seen some of their prisons while being over there, and I tell you what, I'm glad that I didn't live during that time. Because if I would have done wrong, I probably would have faced those things. But here in our society, when we talk about our prisons, they got a lot of comforts. They got more access to things. You would agree, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
It's crazy. I was in conversation with him last week, and it's crazy. Some of these guys get into being lawyers. They have access to all these things, and so they educate themselves, and some would educate themselves so much that they're able to get their back in a trial, and they represent themselves. They didn't have this type of luxury back then. One of the prisons that Paul was in, and I seen this, and this is on the right off the Mediterranean Sea. One of the prisons that they put him in was probably a 6 by 12 hole, 6 feet wide, 12 feet deep. And guess what was on the top of this pit that Paul was in? An animal, a tiger, a lion, that if they would try to get out, they would attack. Imagine having that facing you. That'd be crazy. So he faced those afflictions. By the way, I've known some people in my lifetime that have stood up for God, and they've been arrested for their beliefs. They've been put in jail. My former pastor was one of them over in Bellevue. Was arrested for what he stood up for, and was put in jail. So there's going to come some times that afflictions are going to come our way. It's going to be an inconvenience, wouldn't you agree? But do we quit? No, we don't quit. We continue to keep going on. I think this is really fitting for our day, because in our day, what do we see taking place more and more? Here's what I see taking place. When something gets too difficult, people quit. They walk away. That's their mentality. Oh, there's another job over there. I'll just go over there and get another job. So here's what happens. They keep running away from their problems. By the way, every job has a problem, do they not? Every single job. Just stand. Continue. Well, what's the best way to get through it? The best way that I can be a help in this area to have anybody get through the afflictions that they're going to go through, and I believe is this, and I know it works, and that is this: pray. God knows what you're going through. And we discovered here this past Wednesday night, the things that you're going through, God's going through them with you. And so what he wants you to do during that time is recognize that he's there with you, then call out for help. Call out for help and ask him to deliver you through this time. Okay? Now it goes on and says, do the work of an evangelist. Okay, who took this task on? Okay, let's discuss the work of an evangelist. What do we know what an evangelist's job is? They're no different than the pastor. They're really not. The only difference that we see from a pastor and evangelist is this: they go from church to church. And they're able to preach harder messages. Because there's some things that a pastor cannot preach from his pulpit. Why is that? Because he's around those people all the time. And so you have to come with a more of a softer attitude. And that's hard to figure out. You guys have known me for a long time. You guys have known where I've stood on some things. I've been very adamant on some things. I've been very hard on some things. But you have also seen a different side of me, I've hoped, in the last 6 months. To where I've learned, hey, I can't do that, because now God's called me into this position. I got to have more of a softer approach. Well, an evangelist, they don't have to. They can come in and they can preach hellfire and brimstone. They can offend you all day long, and they don't care because of this reason. They're on to the next church the next week. And that's what they do. By the way, that's one of the biggest highlights of my life, was to be able to preach at so many different churches. I love that part of that. It's just a lot of fun. So Timothy here is being encouraged to do the work of an evangelist. So in other words, the best way for me to say this is this: Timothy, don't become soft. Would that make sense after the explanation I just gave you? Timothy, don't become soft. I want you to preach and do the work of an evangelist. There are some things that you're going to have to say that's not going to be kosher all the time, but you have to say these things. By the way, here's the funny thing. A pastor will continue to preach every single Sunday and every Wednesday night. He'll hit this subject, that subject. He'll pour his heart and soul into it. And all of a sudden, here comes an evangelist in, says the exact same thing, and people are more blessed by it. I understand why my dad would be offended at times. Because I've had many conversations with him, like, I've been preaching that for 6 months, and nobody got nothing out of it. And here comes so-and-so, and they say one message, and everybody's getting all blessed. So I get that part of it. Well, here's the difference. An evangelist is able to say it in a different light. And he might say something where it's just going to click differently. And so he's to do the work of an evangelist. By the way, I'm looking back here at Dina. Dina was saved through an evangelist, through his message. Bob Bear, wasn't it? If I'm right on that. Yeah, exactly. So, do the work of an evangelist. So, with that being said, we go on. It says, make full proof of thy ministry. Well, who wants to tackle that? Yes, ma'am. Exactly. And what have I said the last couple weeks? We should know the Bible better than who? Satan. Why? Because Satan knows the Bible. And he knows how to use it against us. Where did this happen at? Adam and Eve, exactly. A conversation that Doug and I were having last night, kind of along those lines. Make full proof of thy ministry. Know your word. Know God's word. By the way, how do we get to know God's word? We read it, exactly. So with that being said, we need to have, I'm going to use this word. When we're reading God's word, we need to make it an intimate time. That's what we need to do, make it an intimate time. Don't just read it just to read it. Say, oh man, I got 14 chapters out of the way today, and okay, here you go. Here's your trophy for getting 14 chapters read today. Where do we want to place it on? What mantle do you want it on? You know, it's not about how many chapters you read. It's about what you get from those chapters. I'm going to be honest with you. If I read too much, this is me. My dad was totally different. I could not understand how my dad can get what he got out of God's word and he read it, because he'd read 15 to 20 chapters a day. My mind's not geared that way. But if I read 6 chapters a day, I'll be lucky if I remember one. That's how my mind works. So that's why I'm saying, as you read God's word, don't read it just to say, man, I read 6, 7, 8, 12, 15 chapters. Read, here's the best way to do it. Read until God gives you something. You know, even if it's just a verse. If God's giving you a verse and that just jumps out at you, man, study that verse. Make it an intimate time between you and God. It'll do you good to do those things. Okay, verse number 6, it says, for now I am ready to be offered. What's Paul getting at here? He's going to die, exactly. Paul's given these instructions for a reason. He knows that his time is limited. By the way, all of our time is limited. It doesn't matter if you're healthy. Your time is limited. We can be here today and we can check out tomorrow. That's how quick life is. James says, life is nothing but a vapor. And it's here today and gone tomorrow. So Paul knew his time was coming to an end. He says, for now I'm ready to be offered. Think about that word offered. What's going to happen to Paul? Paul is going to be sacrificed. Exactly. He's going to be martyred. He's ready for it. His time has come. Who's willing to say that? Okay, hey, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. Well, think about how Paul's going to go. It'll scare you, to be honest with you. So Paul he's made his peace with God. He's in a great place here. A lot of folks don't want to go to heaven just yet because they haven't made their peace. Yes, you have your salvation. You're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven, but we still don't have that peace. And sometimes it doesn't come until a few days before you pass from this earth. I love my father dearly. I'm going to share something with you next hour, by the way. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But it took 75 years and some for my father to finally have peace with God. He wasn't ready to go during those times that he had all those miserable times in the hospital. It wasn't up until a week before he passed it. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Paul's time is very short here. He says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, I'm going to check out here, and I hope that what I have taught you has been very beneficial for you, and I want you to continue on. But here's what Paul, he doesn't stop there. He says this, I have fought a what? A good fight. Nobody has said being a believer is easy. It's a battle. I have faced battles this week. You have faced battles this week. Why? Because Satan's still not happy that you rejected him and accepted Christ as your Savior. And so he's going to throw battles at you. Paul faced battles. He spent a majority of his time fighting where? In prison. He spent a lot of time recovering from the wounds that came from him when people would stone him. He fought a good fight. So, with that being said, let me ask you a question. How's your fight going? How are you looking in the process? You ever ask yourself that question? Well, some of us don't handle those fights fairly well. But Paul, he goes on and continues with Timothy. He's not being braggadocious. He's just basically saying, hey, I'm accepted what's going on. The fight, it's over for me. I put up a good fight. By the way, it was brutal from the get-go with Paul. What are you talking about? After he met with the Holy Spirit for those 3 days, it says that he went out immediately and began to preach the gospel. But he faced heartache right away. Did you know that a majority of the disciples stayed away from Paul for his first couple years in the ministry? He faced heartache right away. Why did they steer clear of him? Because they knew of his past. They were skeptical. But God began to change the direction and the hearts of these men, and they became very, very beneficial to one another. And we're going to see this here later on, maybe next week. So it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You that are here this morning, I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter what age you are. So please understand this. You're still in the fight. Amen? You're still in a fight. Your course isn't over. You still have a lot to offer to God. Amen? You say, well, Chad, I can't do the things that I used to do. I understand those things. But God still has a plan for you. Well, what can I do? I don't know. I'm not God. But I know he has answers. And sometimes we don't know those answers because we don't ask God specifically. Some of the sweetest things that takes place in the life of an older person is this. They realize that they can't do what they used to do anymore. So here's what they do. they develop one of the best prayer lives ever. My wife's grandmother, I wish some of you folks could have met her, one of the sweetest ladies I knew. She's been with the Lord now for almost 20 years, and we just had a great time with one another. She could not get around much, but you know what that woman was? She was one of the greatest prayer warriors of Sioux City Baptist Church. There's so much that you can still do for the Lord. You're still in a fight. You're still in a battle. Your course isn't done. It hasn't been completed. So please don't check out. We have so much that we can pray for. Take a look around. We have folks that are still sick, that still can't get out and do things. Pray for them. What a great place for you to be. And finally, as we go through this, he says this, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Why is that so important? Again, you have to study the church, the seven churches of Asia during this time. You have to study why this would even be said. Because it was so easy for anybody to walk away. And I'm going to say this, folks, it's easy to walk away today. Right? We all face discouragement. We don't always agree with one another. And we might become disgruntled with one another and say, you know what, I'm going to check out. It's no longer worth it. No, folks, it's worth it. Stay in. Endure the inflictions. Stay in the battle. Stay in the fight. Stand. Continue on. Stay focused for this reason. So that at the end of your life, you won't be able to say it, but people can say it for you. They have kept the faith. If I was to die today and somebody stood over my body in the next couple of days and gave my eulogy, if they did not say Chad Michael Springer did not keep the faith, then I did something wrong. That's what I want somebody to say. Matter of fact, I'm going to make it known right now. On my headstone, I want this to be said. He kept the faith. I don't want anything else. He kept the faith. That's important to me. Why? Because it's so easy to walk away. We get discouraged. We get down on ourselves. But the reason why we get discouraged and down on ourselves is for this reason. And I'm going to shut up after this. It's because we take our eyes off of God and we put it upon us. Paul was able to say this about himself because he kept his eye on Jesus. He kept his faith in him. Well, I hope that this has been an encouragement to you this morning, and where I'm looking forward to the next hour to come as well. I'm really excited about tonight. I can't wait for tonight, so to be honest with you. I said it again. I'm always going to be honest with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. I pray that you just bless us as we meet in this next hour, and we thank you for these things. In your name, amen.